got a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians today. You can go ahead and turn there. We're gonna pretty much be in Ephesians all morning as we're in our series called Immeasurably More, which comes from Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll read that here in a second, and then we'll actually go to Ephesians 1, and I'll break down for you what Paul is teaching us and what that means for us here today. But just to while you turn there, I want to celebrate with you all that God's done over the last 3 years. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a three-year recap because today's our anniversary Sunday. I want to highlight what God has done and what he's continued to do. We've seen 194 people in the last 3 years give their life to Jesus. Amen. Come on, I think you could do better than that. The Bible says that when one person gets saved, all of heaven rejoices. We've seen 194 people give their life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I know many of you are those people, right? You're here today because Jesus has changed your life and you've been set free and you're serving him. And so, man, what a joy and a faith. We had nobody turn in a D last week who said, I'm doubtful that I'll ever follow Jesus. But we did have 32 people who marked C, which says, I'm considering a relationship with Jesus. And if you're here today, I want to tell you this is the place for you. And we're going to continue to talk about the gospel, going to continue to teach about what the Bible teaches and continue to show you how God is transforming lives. And we're just praying for you that you would give your life to Jesus and you would experience the immeasurably more life that he has for you. So 32 people marked C. So just be praying for those 32 that they would give their life to Jesus. And here's the big number for us as well. We had 82 people Mark B, which says, I'm beginning a relationship with Jesus. We had 42 of those 82 said, I'm beginning again. I'm recommitting my life. And 40 who said, this is my first time giving my life to Jesus. Can we just praise God for that from last week? Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for new life. Man, just an incredible display of what God is doing. And some people ask us, why do you do recommitments? And here's the reality. We all have moments in our life where we take next steps and we declare that we're going all in. And sometimes we go all in and sometimes we do it for a couple days. Sometimes we do it for a couple months. And every time we make a decision to go all in and to be more obedient and to trust God and take a next step is a moment, is a marking moment in your journey of sanctification. That's a big word that means becoming like Jesus. So we had people, 42 who said, I want to become more like Jesus, and 40 who said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And so we continue to celebrate that and ask God to move in power. Some other next steps that were on there, we had 39 who said, I'm committing to going to church every Sunday this next year. And I know we had some people who committed to that last year, and no one's come up to me and said, I made it. But if you did, come let me know, because I would love to give testimony to that. But 39 people said, I'm going to church every Sunday this year because with my family, we're going to go all in. And if you're out of town 1 week, go to church somewhere else, right? It doesn't have to be here. We'd encourage you to go anywhere that you can grow. We had 21 people say, I want to be in a community group. So if you're already in a community group, can you just wave at me? Has community group been good for you? Community group, man, if someone said this to me one time, if everybody could experience community group, our community, our gray would look different. Why? Because we get in the Word together, we eat together, and we do what the Bible teaches Christians to do. And we learn how to do it together, and we stumble through it, and we don't make it through it all the time. It's not always great, but man, it is an incredible journey. And if you're not in a community group, I would encourage you to get one. If you're already in a community group, and you're thinking, and you're looking around your community group, and it's if they're like mine, they're full, you're like, where are these people going to go? That's where you come in. We're a church of multiplication. We believe that if churches are healthy, they grow and they multiply and they send people out. So if your group's ready to send somebody out, August is the place. We got 21 people already ready to join a group. And usually 21 people who say, I want to get in a group, usually comes with about three others. So you can just do the math there if they got kids. So we're just praying that our community groups will continue to multiply. God will raise up the right leaders for that. 16 people said, I want to go through Growth Track and want to learn more about who Great Community Church is and what my purpose is. Today is your day at 3:30. And then 14 people said, I'm ready to take my next step of baptism. So we're excited to be with them, to walk with them, and to love on them. And so can we just praise God again for what he did on Easter last week? Because here's the reality. I give you all these numbers, not because numbers is just like, we're not just keeping data here. We're keeping track of, these are people. These are families. These are marriages. These are kids. These are people who need the gospel. And these are people who are ready to take next steps. And these are people that God's going to raise up to continue to minister to other people, right? Some of you who marked salvation, and maybe God's going to raise you up as a pastor one day. Maybe God's going to send you out to plant a church or start a community group or any number of things. And so we keep track of these things because they're people and they're stories and they matter, right? And so we celebrate what God's done. We're going to continue to press in until all of Jones County knows Jesus. Anybody still got your wristband? Until all of Jones County knows Jesus. That's our mission. We're going to continue to do it. And so I'm just thankful for all that God's doing. And that leads us to part two of our series called Immeasurably More, where we're stepping in and we're asking God, we're trying to understand, is there more to this life, right? Because following Jesus is not just like, hey, I'm going to show up on Sundays, put on a nice shirt, and then go eat a good lunch and take a nap and avoid doing all the bad stuff. Following Jesus is a journey of becoming more like Jesus and living out an incredible purpose. When you're invited into the kingdom of God, you accept the invitation into God's family. You are sent on mission. You are an ambassador of Christ. You have great purpose. And I'm trying to help you understand what that is, because many of us, and I've been here in this place in my life, I look at my Christian life and I go, man, it doesn't look like the Bible. When I read the book of Acts, I think, man, that doesn't look like today, but man, we're seeing some seeds of it here in this community, aren't we? Where God's moving in lives, people are getting saved, people are getting healed, people are being set free, and we're going to ask him to continue to do it. But there is more, and I think many people feel like there's more to the Christian life, and there is, right? Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So our title for this series comes from this prayer that Paul is praying. He's praying for the people of Ephesus, which is a real town, a real people, and a real place. He's praying that they would know the love of God. They would know God, and they would be filled to the fullness of God with his power, and they would experience immeasurably more of him and with him and through him. And that's the prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians 3. And that's the prayer that I'm praying for you, that you would come to know God and you would have immeasurably more of him in your life. And I think that so many people step into Christianity expecting this immeasurably more life, but we don't always see it, right? We don't always feel it. We don't always experience it. You step into relationship with Jesus for forgiveness of sins, but also to be set free from those sins. I know that in my journey, when I gave my life to Jesus and I prayed for forgiveness, it felt like week after week, I was going to the altar asking forgiveness for the same sin, doing the same things over and over again, just stuck in a rut, not being set free from what was happening in my life. Can I tell you that when you give your life to Jesus, you're not just set free from the guilt of sin, right? It's not a, hey, I can keep doing this and feel good about myself. God sets you free from the guilt of sin, where you no longer, there is no condemnation. You have joy, you can have peace, you can have all this stuff. But he doesn't just set you free from the guilt of sin. He sets you free from the power of sin. You don't have to be entrapped by the same things that have entrapped your family for generations. You can break those cycles. You can break those curses, not by your power, but by his power that is at work in you. You can have immeasurably more freedom. You can have immeasurably more power. You can have immeasurably more of God. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put in and be with him, right? And it's not something that you earn. It's a gift that he gives you. And that's what he longs for you. He longs for you to be free from those things that you used to do. He doesn't want you to be addicted anymore. He doesn't want you to be angry anymore. He doesn't want you to be depressed anymore. He cares about every detail and every aspect of your life. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to live from victory. He wants you to live with power. He wants you to live in relationship with him and walk out the purpose of his kingdom on the earth. That's what he longs for. That's his desire. But for many of us, this may not be your experience. It may not be what you have felt or what you have walked in. It may be, I think, what most people experience in Christianity, especially in our sphere of the world, is like, this is just a place for me to do good, right? I'm just going to avoid all the bad stuff. I think sometimes people think that Christianity is just avoiding bad stuff and trying to do good stuff, trying to be better, trying to clean ourselves up, trying to be a different person, working hard to become something different. And that's not what it's about at all. That would be a religion of morals. And it's not about morals. It's about relationship with Jesus. And Christianity is not just waking up early and going to church on Sundays. It's following Jesus every day of your life. And it's a beautiful, fun journey of following Jesus. And if you're not having fun following Jesus, you may be following the wrong guy. You may be following a spirit of religion and not the spirit of the living God. Because the people who follow the spirit of the living God, they got to see and do some incredible things. And because that's what God promised they would see and do. And if you're not experiencing that, maybe there's some things you can do in your life to experience immeasurably more. Your Christianity is not just a transaction. It's a relationship that grows and flourishes and transforms you from the inside out. Because we say this all the time, Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's about a heart transformation. It's about becoming somebody new, because those who are in Christ are a new creation. They're recreated, they are born again, and they walk in newness of life. And this relationship with God is not based on your performance. It's not based on how good you can be. It's not based on how much you show up, how much you serve, how much you give. It's based off of what he's already done. And there's great freedom in that. There's great joy in that. There's great purpose in that. Christianity is not a duty. It's a delight. Christianity is not a duty. It's a delight. We get to be Christians. We get to be like Jesus. We get to walk with him. We get to know God on a personal level. And he knows you on a personal level. And he's pleased with you. If you trust him and have faith in God, he's pleased with you. And you don't have to do anything to change that or to earn that. Nothing you do, good or bad, will change the way that God feels about you. He's already prescribed your worth. He's already said how much you're worth. And he said you're worth his son. And he gave his only son for you because you have that much value. And nothing you do can change that. Christianity is not just about survival. It's about an abundance. Right? Christianity is not living a life of scarcity. It's living a life of abundance with him. Does that mean you get to be rich and have a lot of toys? No. But you get to be rich in God. You get to have a relationship with the one who's in eternity. And I don't know about you, if we truly believe that what God is saying in the Bible is true and that eternity is a real place that we'll spend, I'm investing there. I'm not investing here where things are going to fall apart and moth and rust are going to destroy. I'm investing in the kingdom of heaven because that's going to last forever. I think it's 2 Peter that says you can have a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of God. I want a rich welcome into the kingdom. So I'm going to do whatever I can to follow him and be with him and live this life of abundance. And Christianity is not just for later. It's for right now. It's a life that you get to live today. It's not a life that you escape to later. It's a reality that you experience today. Anybody testify to that? Begin to understand that God is moving in your life and he's interested in everything that you have going on. Following Jesus, he didn't die. He didn't come to earth, leaving heaven, come to earth, live a perfect life. Never sinned, never was disobedient, always loved, always was gracious, lived with great purpose. He didn't do all those things, be beaten, hung and down a cross, go to hell and defeat the enemy in 3 days and raised from the grave just for you to live a boring life. He said, I come that you would have an abundant life. A life to the full. He came so that you would have more purpose. You would have more power, not so that you would just work an 8 to 5 and be bored every day and be caught in the rat race of the American dream. That's not the reality of following Jesus. He didn't come and die and raise again so that you'd be arguing and fighting all the time as a family, so that you would be addicted and left stranded to do your own thing. He didn't come and die and raise again so that you would be depressed for the rest of your life and sick and constantly in. He came so that you would be set free, so that you would have an abundant life. He didn't come and die and raise again so that you'd be stranded and trapped in debt the rest of your life, serving another master because you can't serve two. He came so that you could be set free. And he wants you to be set free. And he's making a way for you to be set free each and every day. He didn't come so that you're barely making it physically and mentally and emotionally and financially and relationally. He came so that you could live an abundant life, so that you could have immeasurably more of himself, immeasurably more power, immeasurably more love, immeasurably more grace, immeasurably more in your family, all this stuff. And this is what he actually promised. Look at John 10:10. He says, the enemy comes... The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his only purpose for being here. It's to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have an immeasurably more life. This is the promise of Jesus. This is why he came. And I think that most Christians miss this. Not because you're just lukewarm and don't want it. I think that most Christians miss this because we just don't know what's really available to us. I think that many Christians end up living a lukewarm, boring, bland Christian life, not because you long to or you're disobedient, but because you just don't know what's actually available for you. One of my favorite movies, I think, illustrates this in the best way possible. And it's called Dumb and Dumber. You would have never guessed that this was my favorite movie, did you? One of my favorite movies. There's a moment, right, where Lloyd and Harry, they're driving on a moped and it's winter. Anybody remember this part of the movie? Right? They're too deep on a moped on their trek through this icy storm, and it's freezing out, and one of them's got gloves and one of them doesn't. You remember this, where I'm going, right? He's freezing the whole time. They wind up at this barrel of fire, and he's like, man, I think it's Lloyd. He's like, man, my hands are just sweating from all these gloves that I'm wearing. He starts taking his gloves off, and Harry gets mad. He's like, you mean to tell me this whole time you've had an extra pair of gloves and you didn't say anything to me? Well, yeah. I think that many of us are riding on the back of that moped freezing because we don't realize there's more to the Christian life than what we're experiencing today. And there's people around us who've got it, and they're not sharing it. They're not telling us. Some of you know what the more is, and you know where I'm going with this message, but you haven't told anybody. Or maybe we're just not listening. Right, and I think God wants to set us free in that. And that's really kind of the big idea for our whole series. The immeasurably more that God has for you, that God has for your life, is the Holy Spirit in you. If you feel like you haven't experienced all that the Bible talks about for Christianity, it may be because you're not paying enough attention to the Holy Spirit. The immeasurably more that God has for you, has for your life, is more of himself, and he gives it to you in a free gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. And that is what empowers you and leads you and guides you and comforts you and counsels you and gives you more of God. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead in the Holy Spirit is given to you as a gift and dwells in you so that you can experience more grace, so that you can experience more love, so that you can experience more purpose, so that you can experience more power. And many of us fail to experience all that God has for us because we've either forgotten or rejected or just don't know about the Holy Spirit. I think there's a story about a people in the book of Acts who they're Christians. They've given their life to Jesus, and the apostles show up and they're like, wait, has anybody told you about the Holy Spirit yet? And like, we don't know anything about this Holy Spirit. And they lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Spirit, and then they receive power. Right? The disciples who rejected Jesus at the crucifixion had no power, they had no courage until the Holy Spirit came, and then they began to start a movement that flipped the world upside down. Many of us are trying to live the Christian life without our gloves on. We don't have the warmth of the Holy Spirit. We don't have the power of the Holy Spirit giving us immeasurably more of God. And so we're living a bland life because we don't know who the Holy Spirit is. We don't know what he's giving us. And the Holy Spirit gives us immeasurably more grace, immeasurably more power, immeasurably more love, and immeasurably more purpose. That's what he does in your life. That's his purpose. And many of us, whether we've seen people abuse the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Holy Spirit and we don't understand it or we're just afraid of it, we don't experience all that God has for us because we don't lean into who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. And Paul explains this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14. I'm going to read it to you and teach it to you as we go. This is what he says. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. If you are in Christ Jesus, God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And I don't know about you, but that changes the way I think. I don't have to operate with scarcity. I can operate with, I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because God's already given it to me. Why? Because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It gives God great pleasure. pleasure when you give your life to Jesus. Why? Because it gave him great pleasure to offer Jesus for you. And he longs for you to have that in your life. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us. Glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. If the grace you're experiencing in God doesn't feel glorious, and if it doesn't feel like it's been poured over you, we need to talk about what grace means. Because his grace is rich and it's been poured on you. I think some translations say that he lavished on us. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Life with God is a life that has been, it's a grace and a love and a kindness that has been showered on you, that has been lavished on you, that you've been soaked in, and that your life is different because of. And God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan, verse 10, at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. At the right time, he's going to bring everything back together. We've been talking about the second coming. This is what this is about. But he says, furthermore, because we are already united with Christ, we have already received an inheritance from God. So at the right time, he's bringing everything under his authority. But if you're already in Christ, you've already received the inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. I want to tell you, this is not a text on predestination that says God's already chosen who would be saved. He says his purpose was that the Jews would first trust, which were the chosen people of God. But now, he says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth and the good news that God saves you. What does that mean? It's not just for a select people. The grace of God is for all people. And everybody has an opportunity to receive. Everybody has an opportunity to accept. Everybody has an opportunity to be lavished in the glorious grace of God. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. The promise, the inheritance that you've already received is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that you receive when you give your life to Jesus. The Spirit is God's guarantee. It's his guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. And he did this so that we would praise and glorify him. The gift that you receive when you give your life to Jesus is the very Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. That's why it's impossible to be a Christian and keep on sinning. Because when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, dwells inside of you, seals you for your salvation, and you cannot keep living in sin when you have the Spirit of God in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God has destroyed the works of the devil in you. And if you can continue to live in sin without repentance, you may not have the Holy Spirit, which means you're probably not a follower of Jesus. And that's a hard truth. But the only way to overcome that is to repent, give your life to Jesus, and stop sinning. Not by your power, but by his power that's inside of you. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee of more to come. That's what we read in verse 14. And the more is not just for later. It's for right now. The more of God, the promise of God, the inheritance of the Holy Spirit is not just for later. It's for right now. And you continue to take steps in the right now, continue to take next steps into the more that God has for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you gain access to and live into this more that God has for you? I'm glad you asked, because it's in the next verse. He says, ever since, verse 15, I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray constantly for you, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. How do you gain access and live into the more that God has for you? The first thing you have to have is a strong faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. What is faith? It's trusting that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died, and that 3 days later, he rose from the grave. A strong faith says, I trust God and his plan, and I'm following him no matter what. I'm all in with him. There is no halfway in, halfway out with a strong faith. So how do you live into the more? You have to have a strong faith. What else do you have to have? He says you have a strong faith and a love for God's people. You need a love for the church. If you want to experience the more of God, you got to have a strong faith and you got to have a love for the church. And you're like, I don't like church people. Me neither. But I love Christians. And there's a difference. There's a difference. When you come in here, I hope you don't find church people. I hope you find Christians. Because the church is God's chosen people. We're going to love the church, but we don't have to act like church people because church people are religious. Christians have a relationship with Jesus. And there's a difference. Christians have the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. We have to have a strong faith and a love for the church. What does that mean? We love the church by getting in the church, being involved in the church, serving the church, helping build the church up to be what Christ has created it to be. The church is Christ's chosen instrument to declare his life, death, and resurrection to the world. And if you hate the church, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. And the church has messed up. Church people have messed up all throughout centuries. You know the only way to change that reputation? Live a different life. As a Christian, live a different life and create a new reputation for the church. How do you live in the more? You have to have a strong faith. You have to have a love for the church, which means you're in church and you're about the church. And when you have those things, you grow in the knowledge of God. You start growing in the knowledge of God. And these things are building on one another. It starts with a strong faith, which creates a love for the church and Christ's body and Christ. And when you do that, you grow in knowledge. You begin to know God more. Why? Because you're around people who know him better than you do, and they can share that with you. He says in the next verse, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given those he called his holy people who are rich and who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Do you remember last week's message? The Shroud of Turin that Jesus' body was laid in and how they've proven that the only way that that imprint of his body could be there was if 34 trillion watts of light and energy flashed through that shroud at one time, raising him from the dead. You remember that? What does that say? I pray that your hearts will be flooded with what created the image on the shroud? The light and power of God. What does God give you when you feel your when you surrender your life to him? He floods your heart with light, with the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that gives you a confident hope that God has immeasurably more for your life. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. The only way that that image was on that shroud, which they've proven, I think it's like 1 in 200 billion chance that that's not Jesus on that thing. The only way that it happened was 34 trillion tons of light energy went through that thing to form the image on it. You'll be flooded with light and the incredible greatness of God's power. For who? For us who believe in him. There is immeasurably more for your life, not because you're good or you earned it, but because his power and his light has been put inside of you. And this is the same power, verse 19. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. This stuff in the scripture, which science has proven, I love when science catches up with the Bible. The light and the power of God, when you give your life to him, floods your body, floods your heart, floods your soul. And what happens? It drives out all darkness and sin. You can read that in chapter 2 of Ephesians. It drives out all darkness and sin, and it gives you great power and great purpose. If you're tired of living a boring Christian life, you need more of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you're thinking, is it possible for me to be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit? That's what happened in the book of Acts. They were Christians, but they didn't know the Holy Spirit yet. And I love the Bible because it leaves room for both. Some people got filled the moment they gave their life to Jesus, and some people had to come lay hands on them. Some of us have rejected the power of the Holy Spirit, so we have a boring Christian life. Some of us just haven't heard that there's more for us. And there is more for you. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit within you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit inside your life. So how do you get it? How do you live into more? You have to have a strong faith. You have to have a love for the church, which means you get in church and you get involved. You make it your life. You grow in knowledge of God. And when you grow in knowledge of God and you have the Holy Spirit in you, the only natural response, the only supernatural response is to make God known, which is the mission of this church that's been around for 3 years, to know God and make him known. It's impossible to receive the Holy Spirit and continue to live in sin, and it's impossible to receive the Holy Spirit and not share the good news with people. Why? Because it's not something you earned or deserved, and so you have a love for people. You have a love for people, and you want them to be set free too. And Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He promised it. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you receive power to be set free from the power of sin, to be set free from the guilt of sin, and to become a witness, to become a walking testimony where everywhere you go, you have great purpose. You don't just go to work to go to work. You go to work to share the gospel with people. You go to work to be in the community, to love people, to make God known. You make that every part of your being, and I promise your life as a Christian will no longer be boring. People who have great stories and testimony of what God's done in their life are people who live in obedience to be his witness. The ones who can tell you about, man, let me tell you about this lady I prayed for and how she was healed. Let me tell you about this guy that I had a conversation with. He was broken, but now he's given his life to Jesus. That doesn't happen if you don't share. The only way you can have immeasurably more in your life is to be obedient through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come into your life to give you goosebumps. He comes to give you power, to give you immeasurably more of God. Power to live a holy life, to endure faithfully, to continue to show up each and every time into a relationship with God, to pray boldly, to act courageously, and to live supernaturally. To love supernaturally. You receive a supernatural power from God because you have a supernatural mission from God. And when you live that out, you get to experience immeasurably more. But when you reject it and you don't, you live a boring life. And I don't want a boring life. Some days I do. Like, man, I just need a farm and somebody else to leave me alone. But man, I would miss out on so much. I told Jordan the other day, I said, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier just go be a youth pastor for somebody else, where they can handle all the problems. She said, but our life will be miserable because it's not what God asked us to do. And I said, you're right. You finish, I'm going somewhere else. That's a joke, I didn't say that. There's so much more that God has for you, but it's on the other side of your obedience. It's on the other side of a strong faith, of love for the church, of growing in knowledge of God and making him known. And if you're tired of living and wondering if there's more for you, you got to do those four things. And watch how it'll transform and change your life. Let's just bow right now and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you speak to the Christians in the room? Would you reveal right now to those in the room who already call on your name, who've already declared that they're in you, who already declared that they're all in, would you just speak to them right now, Holy Spirit, and give them a confident hope that they have received your Spirit? And Lord, those who have rejected you, would you bring just a conviction on them? And conviction is not condemnation. Condemnation says you are something wrong. Conviction said you've done something wrong. Would you just bring conviction right now, Holy Spirit, on those who need to go all in, on those who need to surrender to you, on those who need to receive you? And would you right now, if they're willing and they're ready, would you just flood them with light and power right here in this moment? Holy Spirit, would you open their eyes and their heart and their body to receive you so that they can live an immeasurably more life? And Lord, those in the room who've been disobedient and who have not been sharing, who've not been obedient, who don't have strong faith, would you just give it to them right now? You gave it to so many of us. Would you just give it to them right now? Would you raise their level of surrender and faith so they can experience immeasurably more? Now, Holy Spirit, would you start speaking right now and to the non-Christian in the room? The one who's never surrendered their life to you, or maybe they need to start again today. The one who's never been all in, who's never confessed their sin, who's never repented, who's never trusted you for their salvation. Would you speak to the non-Christian in the room right now? If you feel this uncertainty or this rumbling in your stomach, like, hey, that's me. Or I'm not sure if that's me or not. I want you to pray this right here with me. Holy Spirit, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that he died and he rose again. I know that I could never measure up, but you love me anyway. I give you my life. I'm going all in. My faith is strong. I want to learn to love the church. I want to learn more about you, and I want to start sharing it with everybody I know. Would you save me and set me free? Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. If you just prayed that, man, God is invading your life with power and light. If you're a Christian and you need more of the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit for more right now, and I promise he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and mercy and grace. It's in Jesus' name.